Blog Talk Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the best radio station inside of my house in Bellamy, Texas. The Love Lift Me Up Show, featuring gospel artists, psalmists, authors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the new Love Lift Me Up Show with Dr. Love.
They didn't want to stop clapping, huh? No, just kidding. Okay. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the segment of Fit to Win on the Love Lift Jesus Up Show. I am your host, Afrida Love. And today I have a treat for you, but first, yep, you guessed it, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this day. We thank you for last night's lying down and this morning's rising. We thank you for the things that you've done in the past, the things that you're going to do, and the things that you're going to do in the future. We thank you for just being our Father in heaven, but also on earth because we feel your presence. We thank you for the happiness you've given us. We thank you for the challenges you've given us. We thank you for the valleys. We thank you for the mountains. We thank you for the plains. We thank you for the safety. We thank you for the love that you give to us each and every day. We're asking would you bless each person that we come into contact with to leave a lasting impact and to leave them in a position where they will know who you are. And Lord, we're asking would you bless the ministry that you have given. Would you bless it to touch, first of all, households, because charity starts at home, then spreads abroad. Then would you bless cities and states and nations and countries, Lord. We realize that ministry is not entertainment, Heavenly Father, but it is a ministry where we're actually trying and seeking to reach souls. We're asking with the purpose and vision be something that you would have it to be, something authorized by you. We're asking would you bless this to expand so that you will be glorified, not me. Heavenly Father, I'm asking would you bless those connects and people who have the love of you in their heart. And even those who don't and those who come to seek you, Heavenly Father, because there are many more than few. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this Monday. And we're asking would you bless the rest of this week to be edified and uplifted and ordained by you. Would you bless me as I give this information from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Would you bless this to be acceptable in your sight? And bless the listeners and bless those who say, pray for me, Heavenly Father. Bless those who are in the hospital, those who are out of the hospital, praise God. Those who are coming out of bereavement but still in bereavement, Heavenly Father. You know who they are. You know them name by name. You know them city by city. Lord God, if we had 1,000 tongues, we wouldn't be able to say thank you because we thank you for what you're doing, Heavenly Father. We're just asking would you keep us in your care and bless us to be the people, the nation, the country that you would have us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. I've already said welcome to the show, and you know that anytime you're on my show that you're welcome. Actually, God's show that you're welcome. And for this segment of Fit to Win, you know, on last week we talked about stress, and we're going to still talk about stress, and we're going to talk about some cousins of stress, and we're going to get into what is causing us, I say us, to feel bad, to feel unhappy, to be stressed out. And one of the cousins of stress is worry. Worry, matter of fact, is a first cousin of stress. And many times we think about why our body depreciates. And our body does not depreciate because of our jobs. It does not depreciate because of people. It does not appreciate because, depreciate because of situations. It depreciates because of our emotions and our mind. That's why many times the mind is very important to keep it stable and keep it at ease, because different things happen to the mind when you begin to worry and have anxiety and stress. And today we're looking at a first cousin, amen, of stress. And the first cousin of stress is worry. And many times we know that worrying can be helpful if you can find a way to solve your problem. But if it preoccupies you and keeps you from going out with your friends, keeps you from praising God, keeps you from working hard, keeps you, if it hinders you from anything, then worry is a problem within itself. So I want somebody to say worry is a problem. So within this research, I've been researching, within this research, we're going to answer a couple of questions informally. And the first question is, why is it so hard to stop worrying? The second thing we're going to learn is how to create a worry period. I know that that seems kind of strange or odd, but create a worry period, and I'm going to give you more information on that. Ask yourself, is the problem solvable? Accept uncertainty. Challenge anxious thoughts. Be aware of how others affect you and practice mindfulness. Why is it so hard to stop worrying? It's hard to stop worrying because worry takes a toll on our body. Matter of fact, any time we think, we're either thinking of a problem or a solution. You need to evaluate your thoughts. If you're always thinking of a solution, then there is a problem that needs to be fixed. If you're always worrying, there is a problem. That's why it's always God in the Bible says that we should always stay prayed up so that our mind can be at ease. But if you find that when you evaluate your day and you write down every time, and I want you to try this tomorrow, I want you to write down just for an hour. Don't even do it for the whole day, just for an hour. Write down, just jot down very quickly what you're thinking about. At the end of the day, I want you to look at it and evaluate. If you have more worries than problem solving, then there is a problem and you have stress. That's how you know if you have stress. Okay, so I want you to look at that. Many times worrying is caused by our beliefs, both negative and positive. And that's why I said your attitude, amen, affects your praise. So on tomorrow with this section, why is it so hard to stop worrying? I want you to evaluate yourself and see if you're worrying. That's the first thing. The first thing is to basically recognize and don't be in denial. So I want you for an hour, okay? And don't even think about it, because when you start thinking about it, you're going to say, okay, I'm not going to think about what I'm thinking about. I just want you to remember that Alfreda Love said, for an hour, jot down. And you don't have to write a long dissertation. Just jot down. I'm thinking about whatever. I'm thinking about exercising. I'm thinking about how can I be positive to this person. I'm thinking about whatever you're thinking about. I want you to write it down. And I want you to tally your thoughts and separate them. Okay? Positive, negative, stress, unstress. Okay? And that's how you know if you're really stressed out. And that's how you know if there is a problem. Negative beliefs or worrying about worrying adds to your anxiety and keep worry going. When you think in a negative fashion, and it's not a concern. A concern is different. A concern is you're seeking a solution. Being negative is saying that this cannot be done. I can't do it. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. That is being negative. A concern is I'm coming for help. I'm bringing this to your attention. I'm trying to get the problem solved. Okay, so don't think that you can't have a concern. If you write down a concern, okay, then that's fine. But if you're writing down, I hate this, I hate what I'm doing, I hate my job, I hate this, then that's negative beliefs. And, of course, you're going to be worrying, okay? In order to stop worrying and anxiety for good, you must give up your belief about worrying, okay, and think about something positive. You are the only one who can control what you worry about. When you're driving a car, okay, You only worry about getting a flat if you have a flat. Does that make sense? Think about it. When you're driving a car, you don't worry about getting a flat unless you have one already, okay? So you're thinking positive. You're thinking, I'm going to get to work without a flat, period, okay? When you are crossing the Brazos River, or if you're crossing the San Francisco Bridge, or you're crossing a bridge, you don't think or you don't worry about that bridge collapsing, God forbid, until it happens, okay? So you need to program your mind. I say you. We need to program our minds, amen, to not so much think about a problem. If you're going to think that way, and it's good to think that way and be, because God said be you ready at all times. It's good to think that way, but think positive about it. If this happens, this is the solution. You know, so always think in advance, but think and pray about it first, you know. Think and pray about it first. So in order for you to stop worrying, you're going to have to be proactive and think, if this happens, this is what needs to happen, okay? You're going to always have to put a positive perspective with a negative. You got to make the best of a bad situation. Why do you keep worrying, okay? On one hand, your worries are bothering you. You can't sleep. You can't get this pessimistic thought out of your head. So you keep worrying because you feel this way, and I'm going to read them to you. Maybe I'll find a solution. I don't want to overlook things, so I'm going to worry about it. If I keep thinking a little bit longer, maybe I'll figure it out. I don't want to be surprised, and I want to be responsible. Those are the keys to why you continue to worry. As far as finding a solution, if it causes you to worry, you need to ask for help, whether it's through prayer and supplication or if it's through asking someone for help. Someone on Facebook, and I really admire this, they know who they are, and I'm not going to call any names. They said, you know, they wanted to do everything on their own. But this person said, I realized that I had so many people who could help me with this particular thing that they were either going through or they were trying to do. And that helps ease some of the stress. It's not saying that people do everything for you. But if you need help and you cannot figure it out, then go to who knows how to do it. Why worry about stuff that can be fixed? Okay? Being responsible is taking action. All right? And solving the problem. That's being responsible. Being responsible is not being upset and worrying about a problem and you never come up with a solution. So, in other words, this little section right here that I just gave you is basically saying if you need help, don't be too proud to ask. But on the other hand, also, if you are worrying about something or you're concerned about something, try to come with a solution. All right, and we've been saying that a lot. Now I'm going to introduce you to Mr. Robert Lay, and he wrote The 7 Steps to Stop Worrying, okay? And I want you to look him up, and I want you to study him, especially if you have stress attacks. His name is Robert L. Leahy, L-E-A-H-Y, doctor, excuse me, Robert L. Leahy. And I want you to look him up if you are really stressed out, okay? The first tip he says is create a worry, period, okay? And basically, it's tough to be productive in your daily life if you're always worried, okay? If your thoughts control you and you're always worried, create a worry, period. And in this worry period, it's not saying, woe is me. This is happening to me. I feel sorry for myself. I'm going to throw a pity party. I'm inviting everybody. No. This is a period to tell yourself, stop it right now. Give yourself a directive. Stop worrying. Quit it. And I know it seems silly to do a self-talk, but you have to because you have to program your brain. Just like if you tell yourself, if you look at yourself in the mirror every day and say you are somebody, you're going to start believing it. Okay? Tell yourself that every day in the mirror. You're somebody. You're special. All right? Tell yourself that. If you don't wag your own tail, then that's not good. Create a worry, period. tell yourself during this period, whether it's 5 or 10 minutes, to stop worrying. Now, do not sit in your office and look in the mirror and tell yourself that, because then that's another problem. People will start thinking, oh, my gosh. It's called self-talk, thinking to yourself, okay? You can distract yourself, right, by saying stop worrying to yourself. And you do it often. Every time you feel yourself start to worry, you redirect yourself and say stop it. Oh, I'm worried about tonight. Stop. Don't worry about tonight. Oh, I'm worried about this or that. Tell yourself to stop it. Sometimes, and it's also called taking a break. You have to take that little 5-minute break and just collect your thoughts and stop worrying. Okay? Now, learning to postpone worrying. When you feel like you are about to worry, conveniently get up and start doing something else. If you think about something more than 30 seconds, good or bad, your mind and your body, your attitude takes on that thought. Did you know that? If you start thinking about something 20 to 30 seconds, try it if you think I'm kidding. Just try it. Try it tonight. Don't try it while you're listening to me on air, because I want you listening. Try it, just 20 to 30 seconds. Try to think of something, and I guarantee you, you'll take on that attitude. I guarantee you. But within this, learning to postpone worrying, Dr. Roberts says create a worry period. Choose a time and place for worrying, and it should be the same every day. It should be consistent. For instance, in the living room from 5 to 5:20, that's the only time I'm worrying. During that period, you're allowed to worry about whatever's on your mind, okay? But I want you to become acclimated into coming up with at least one solution. And you're going to have to do this consistently. If you worry a lot, say, okay, from 5 to 5:20, everything stops. I'm going in the living room. I'm going in my bedroom. I'm going outside to worry. 20 minutes, that's it. 20 minutes out of your whole day, that is your allotted time to worry. And then you need to let it go, as I said yesterday. Because many people spend 24 hours worrying for nothing. You're going to have to pray to God and trust God, like I said yesterday. And I know that sometimes it's hard, especially when you're trying to get a relationship with God, because you can't see God. But if you start praying and getting in the Word, then things will start getting a little bit easier. But from 5 to 5:20, that's 20 minutes. That is your time, and it doesn't have to be 5 to 5:20. Okay, it could be 5 to 5:10, okay? That is your time to worry. The rest of your day is a worry-free zone. You are not allowed to worry, and you have to be very firm with yourself in saying that. It has to be a lot of self-direct talk. And like I said, do not do this out in public, because people will look at you like, oh, my God, okay? Now, postpone your worry. We all know what postpone means. Do a rain check on it. If an anxious thought or worry comes into your head during the day, not during, and I know this seems crazy, but not during your worry period, postpone it. Remind yourself that you'll have time to think about it later. You always have, amen, just like in the Bible, where we have a place of refuge. Jesus had a place of refuge when he was crucified. You have a place of refuge. That's why you have that one time in the day, that 20 minutes to think about it. Now, if you need longer, you only have 20 minutes. So 5 minutes, you know, from 8 to 8.05, 9 to 9.05, if you want to spread it out. And some people just need that whole 20 minutes. But you know your body. Just like when we went over that for fitness, some of us are at different levels. You know your level. I don't know your level. You know it. So if you need 5-minute increments because you need for your body and mind to think that, you know, it's longer, then that's fine. Or some people like it in one setting. If you want to break it up, it's cool with me. Do what you have to do, but just don't worry all day, okay? Postponing your worry. Go over your worry list during the worry period. Do not bring out that worry list during the day, and it's not your worry period. Make a list, okay, during that word period from 5 to 5:20 or from 8 to 8:05 or from 10 to 10:05, whatever it is, make a list of what you're worried about, okay? Allow yourself to worry about them, okay? If they don't seem important to you, then mark them out and enjoy the rest of your day. Stop worrying about it. If there is a concern or a worry, come up with a solution, okay? Now, don't come up with this bogus solution, but come up with a solution to the problem, all right? And then ask somebody, if that still doesn't work, ask people to help you with the problem. But don't worry about the problem 24/7. Don't take it home. Don't sleep with it. You know, I mean, just enjoy life, in other words. Postponing worrying is effective because it breaks the habit of dwelling on worries in the present moment, okay? You simply save it for later. As you develop this ability, according to research, to postpone your anxious thoughts, you'll start to realize that you have more control over your worry. If you are worrying all day and pulling your hair out literally and popping pills because you're so filled with anxiety, then you need to do something different. As far as your thoughts, your worrying is controlling you. If you're having to take pills, if you're having to do a lot of things, your worrying is really controlling you. You control worry. You give it 20 minutes a day, however you want to break it up, and say, that's it. You got to get out of here. It's a spirit, amen? I wanted to say that. Worrying is a spirit, and you got to get rid of it, okay? And you need to bring in the Holy Spirit, because a worrying spirit will drive you insane, all right? Worry and anxiety self-help tip number 2. Ask yourself if the problem is solvable. Research shows that while you're worrying, you temporarily feel less anxious because your mind is feeding into how you're feeling. Running over the problem in your head distracts you from your emotions. It makes you feel like you're getting something accomplished. All right? So is it really worth it? Is it solvable? For instance, being stuck in traffic, the solution is just to be patient. You can't run over people trying to get out of traffic. A problem that is solvable is, for instance, you want to run 1 mile, and right now you're struggling running one lap. Well, practice. You know, watch what you eat. You know, do things like that. Things that you can control, all right? Then come up with a solution. Those things that you can't, you just have to keep them moving and be patient. Okay, the things that you can't solve, you know, it's just some things you just can't get around, like traffic. You know, you have to be patient. If your flight is late due to weather constraints, well, there's really nothing you can do about that, you know. But if you, for instance, want to get on another flight, you know, then pay the money and get on another flight. Simple as that. You just have to come up with ways to solve problems. Especially if you want something done, if you want to be satisfied. Now, when we talked about solving problems, you have to be able to distinguish between solvable and unsolvable worries. If a worry pops up in your head, start by asking yourself whether the problem is something you can actually solve. And these steps right here are these questions that Dr. Robert proposed is very helpful. Is the problem something you're currently facing rather than an imaginary what if, okay? If it's a what if. Now, if it's something that has actually happened, then there is a solvable problem to that. Now, if it's something that is imaginary that could happen, okay, then that's different. You wouldn't worry about it too much. But if it has happened and you have experienced it, then we need to come up with we need to solve the problem, okay? If the problem is an imaginary what if, how likely is it to happen? Is your concern realistic? And sometimes when things happen, you have to be proactive so it won't happen again. So we shouldn't be so blind as to say, well, it might not happen again, because it very well may happen again, unintentionally or intentionally. So if the problem is an imaginary what if, for instance, nobody would ever think that if you go to Six Flags that they will fall those many feet from a ride. Nobody was prepared for that, but it happened. And when it happened, it caused a pretty great effect. A woman died from it. So if the problem is not imaginary, but the problem had never happened. It was a first-time deal. But you learn from things that happen, and therefore you come up with a solution. You don't say, well, you know, going to Six Flags and falling off a ride, it only happened once this year. Okay, well, that one time cost a lot. It cost a woman her life. It cost Six Flags a lot of money because they're sued. So in looking at that, and looking at solvable and unsolvable worries, then we have to know how, as business people and as people, we have to know how to be proactive so that it won't happen again, or we'll be ready when it does happen again, and God forbid that. Now, can you do something about the problem or prepare for it, or is it out of your control? Now, this is another iffy thing, and we're going to use it about the rides, you know, at the fair or the rides at the Six Flags or wherever. Can you do something about the problem or prepare for it? Well, I'm sure that on a roller coaster ride, nobody ever prepared. You don't prepare for things like that. It just happens. But you also have to be cognizant of the possibilities of it could happen, and you have to be ready for it. There are some things that are just out of your control. And those are things that you don't worry about. But when you're aware of something and you can be proactive in case it happens again, whether it's unique in nature or whether it happens consistently, be proactive so that if it happens again, you can be ready for it. If you already know that it's happened once, then be proactive. So in looking at this, solvable and unsolvable worries, You solve those things that you can, and those things that you can't, you leave it as a concern, but you're very cognizant and you have something prepared in case it happens. Okay? Now, dealing with solvable worries, we're going to get into that. And I'm also going to download on my page a video, it's 2 minutes and 50 seconds, entitled Developing Emotional Awareness. Okay, and developing emotional awareness, and that is being aware of your emotions, things that you should worry about or think about, not worry about, think about, and things that you really shouldn't. Okay, many times, and I have about 4 minutes, actually 2 minutes because this time is off. We're going to talk about the next time on Monday, we're going to talk about accept uncertainty. We're going to talk about the key to anxiety relief. We're going to talk about challenging those anxious thoughts. You can't let anxious thoughts get the best of you. You're going to have to stand up to those spirits. And they are spirits, believe it or not, that brings you down, that causes you to be anxious, that causes you to worry, that causes you to stress, that causes you to not like what you're doing, that causes you to be unhappy. You have control, besides God, you have control over how you live your life and the happiness within your life. Believe it or not, you have control over it. We have control over our happiness. So, therefore, I want to touch with that. I want to look at stop worry by questioning the worried thoughts. For instance, what's the evidence that the thought is true? What's the evidence that it's not true? We're going to start looking at evidence because your mind sometimes play tricks on you, and it makes you think things that are really not so, and you get stressed up and worked up, and that's what happens when you're stressed out, you know. So we're going to get into that. Have a couple of announcements. Remember that The Color Purple is going to be here on Thursday at 7:30. Remember that La Vega, we have our reading night on Thursday as well. We want to see you there. Starts at 5 o'clock. Also, remember that Ms. Shantae Stewart has her musical workshop, $10 donation. Be sure to look on my website for her email. Remember, somebody asked you what that smile is all about. Tell them that love lifted you up because God is love. And once again, take care of yourselves and each other and have a very prosperous week. If you want to Facebook me, go on to ALFREDALOVE. Thank you so much. Have a blessed week. Bye-bye.